March 10th, 2019, and we are happy to be here. I have my lovely wife with me, I doubt, and some of the members, Betty and Fair. Thank you all for coming. And we are very thankful to be here.
We're thankful to have you.
Back in Memphis and the fellowship here in Memphis, it's a blessing to be among other believers in precious faith. And from what I understand, we are in Romans chapter 1, right?
Yeah.
And so Frank had went over the preliminaries of Romans, but the Romans, I pretty much imagine, to start now. And just to start out, just kind of some intro to the Romans that I'm going to add to it. Is Romans, is Paul's, let's just have a word of prayer first. Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace. We thank you for this day. Thank you for this time we have to come together to read and study the Word. Father, we ask for the grace of understanding as we read. We ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten our eyes of understanding. We might know the things you have us to know in these passages of Scriptures, right divided. Thank you, Father, for the Apostle Paul and making known to us how we are to follow Paul as he follows Christ. Thank you, Father, for bringing us out of the confusion and division that is in the church today and giving us a good hope through grace and a sound understanding in your word right divided. Thank you, Father, for these blessed truths we've come to know. Help us to be faithful for the things we've come to know and the things that we don't know. Help us to understand them more clearly, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Okay, so Paul, Romans is Paul's epistle. Doctrinal exposition largely range from the subjects than any other his writings. It's more doctrinal arranged, as there's more doctrine in Romans than in any of his epistles. The key words mark the dispensational changes, like "but now" in Paul's epistles. That signifies a dispensational change. You can recognize that here in Romans. Where he shows this dispensation of grace is contrasted from with the former dispensation of the law. He's showing that we're not under law, we're under grace. Romans. In Romans 9 through 11 is the dispensations chapters of the of Israel's past, present, and future are explained in detail in Romans 9 and 11. The doctrinal truth of salvation is fully dealt with, and the great truth about justification by faith is all dealt with here in the book of Romans. It's important for us as believers to understand these foundational truths of justification, sanctification, reconciliation, all these things we need to know as believers to be grounded in our souls to know these things. He refers to the power of God to establish believers according to his gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. These things are made known in the book of Romans. So we are going to start right where I guess you guys left off in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. And so I'm going back up to verse 19 and just kind of go down from there. I'm just going to go 19 to 23 and just try to cover those verses right there. Romans chapter 1, verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible, made like to corruptible. sin and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. So I'm going to stop right there. And verses 19 and 20 speak of two ways man is aware of God. Verse 19 and 20, this is what verses 19 and 20 speak of. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Internal evidence. This speaks of internal evidence. The fact that every man, every human being, has an inborn knowledge of God. This is what that's referring to. Verse 19 is referring to. There are certain things man knows about God that are automatic. Psalms 139, verse 4. Look at those verses. That verse, and it says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And that's Psalms 139, verse 14. That's David quoting that. So we can also look at external evidence of his creation. Verse 20 goes on to say in our lesson in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So man has two evidence in himself and creation that speak. There's a God somewhere. There's a God. Can't deny it. And these scriptures right here show it also. We're going to look at Psalms 8. Psalms 8 and Psalms 19. God's power is seen in creation. Man's outer awareness of God is through the testimony of creation. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen. God has shown to all the human race of people his invisible attributes. This revelation has been made known by the things that are made. Speaking of all creation. Psalms 8, verse 3. Psalms 8, verse 3 says, when I consider the heavens, the works of thine hands, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. And that's what that verse says. I'm going to drop down to Psalms 19, verse 1. There's some more to that passage, but I'm going to get to it later. Psalms 19:1, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. This is talking about evidence of God in creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them hath he set the tabernacle of the Son. Also, let's look at Psalms 33, verse 6. Psalms 33, verse 6 says, by thy word, O Lord, were the heavens made, and all the host of them, by the breath of his mouth, speaking of the headship of God, Paul says these words to the Athenians upon Mars Hill, for they were very superstitious. Acts chapter 17. He says these words to the Athenians because they were idol worshippers. They were kind of idol for everything. But just in case they miss one, they had that idol to the unknown God. And that's the God Paul is going to start speaking about here in Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, verse 23 says, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you, God." See, God, Paul is standing on Mars Hill, and they're all listening to Paul here. These are philosophers and wise men of that day, Gentiles. And he says in verse 24, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things." Verse 26. "And hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." Spring. Verse 29. "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are the ones that created all things. They are the ones. They all are one God. They were all involved with the creation, but it was carried out through the Lord Jesus Christ himself." Verse 30 goes on to say, Acts 17:30, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him up from the dead." Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. All the world's going to be judged one day by Jesus Christ. And so by Jesus Christ, we're all things created. Let's look over in Colossians. And this is the one I didn't put in my notes, but let's just go over there. Colossians chapter, I think it's chapter 1. Does everybody see where I'm going here? I'm showing from the scripture the evidence of God in creation now. And we just looked at before the evidence of God within ourselves. Because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. No one could have made us but God himself. This human body that we live in. And it's our house in which we live. The real person of us lives on the inside. This body is just a tabernacle. A building. So I say Colossians chapter 1,
16.
Verse 16. Okay. Let's drop down to verse 16. Let's see there. Let's just back up a little bit. Let's start at verse 14. "In whom we have redemption through his blood," talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, "even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the," there it is right there, "invisible God." The Lord Jesus Christ is the visible image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that created all this. And all three of the Godhead were involved in the creation of the heaven and the earth. Okay? So this all speaks of the attributes of God. And do you know anything about attributes of God? God is, he is, one word is omniscient. God is omniscient. His omniscience is displayed in creation.
in forming man. His great wisdom and knowledge and ability, that's omniscient of God. God knows everything, and his knowledge is complete. In Psalms 139, verse 15, this is where I'm going to finish what I was reading back up here in Psalms 139. So, 139. Sustenance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my sustenance, yet being in unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. So God knew what he's saying here. God knew me before even my elements came together. That's what David's saying. God knew me then. Even before we even existed, God already knew us. That's how vast and how advanced his knowledge is. Far beyond our comprehension, our little minds can comprehend, God already knew us before we were born. He thought about us before, so that's God on something. God thought about us before the world began. He thought about us lost sinners, and he made provisions for us by sending his son and dying on the cross to pay for our sins to redeem us back to him. God knew us way back then. Ain't that something? How great is that? Right. He already knew us back then. That's humbling right there to know how great God we serve. He knows all about us. There's nothing we can't keep hidden from him. He already knows about us. So we should look to him for help and guidance in everything in our lives, because he's able to help us in every circumstance we may be going through. And that's a wonderful God. That talks about like I said, one of the attributes of God, omniscient. God is omnipresent. Another attribute. Let's look at these scriptures here. 139 verse 7. Did I go over that one? 139 verse 7? I didn't do that one. I did 139, 15, 16. Okay. 139, Psalms 139, verse 7, 8, 9, 10. God is omnipresent. That's 8. Right, omnipresent. 139 verse 7 says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." That speaks of the omnipresence of God. So that's in basic terms, God is everywhere present at the same time. That's how great and vast God is. He's in the past, eternity past, he's in the present, he is in eternity future. He's everywhere present. You cannot escape the presence of God. But one day, something's going to happen. Those sinners who reject God and does not want God in their life, no God, no God, like the fool have said in Psalms, no God. That passage talking about you don't want God in his business, you don't want God in his life, and they continue to reject and reject God, God's going to give them exactly what they want. Right. He's going to put them out of his existence. They're going to be taken out of the presence of God in total darkness. They're not going to be able to see the trees, the birds, the flowers, the stars, none of that. You're going to put them on the backside of the universe somewhere in a black hole, you won't be able to see nothing. God has power to do that. He's going to give them what they want. That's what you want, okay? You're out of here. But we are going to see the glory of God. We are predestined to glory. We are to keep our eyes focused on our goal, which is glory one day, to spend glory with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what you've got in store for you. As believers in Christ who have believed this gospel, this power of God unto salvation, Romans chapter 1, let's look over there. This is the gospel of your salvation. If you're not saved today, it's the gospel of your salvation. You know, if we know it's the gospel of our salvation, it's because we have believed it. But for those who are not saved, it's for you too. Romans chapter 1. And as unbelievers, as a lost person, they need to see how hopeless and helpless they are before they can be saved. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the power of God, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." There is the, what Paul says there is the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That can save a lost person's soul right there. That's what saved us. That's what gave us eternal security. That's what has given us justification. Believing that gospel, it had the power to save us lost, undeserving sinners. And what can we say about it? Thank you, Lord. Because He did it all. All He asked for us to do is just believe it. And God does something on our behalf. Let's look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we can see the power of God. Paul talks about here. 30 minutes more than 30 minutes ago. So, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 16. We'll start right there. Paul says, let's drop down verse 17. "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is what? That's the power. That's the power we have to take to this lost world today. Is that preaching of the cross as good news. Now, at Pentecost, in the early chapters of Acts, Peter didn't preach the cross as good news, did he? That's where in our Sunday school lesson, you know, at home. He accused them, "You killed the Prince of Life, now you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins." That's not good news. You killed them, Israel. And they were pricked to the heart, and they said, "What must we do?" And you said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." And so that's what they had to do. But today, Paul presents the cross as good news. Today, that's a different message. That's not the same message that Peter was preaching over there. That message was not given to Peter. It was only given to Paul. Good news of the cross, what God was accomplishing through Christ's death on that cross. It's glorious. It is glorious. And to us who are saved, that's what Paul says over there in 1 Corinthians, it is the power of God unto salvation. If we drop down in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22, 23, and 24, Paul says, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks," there it is again, "Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." That's it right there. That's our message today. The gospel we are to take to the lost around us. Just preach that gospel to that lost person and let him go. Just preach it to them, let it go, pray for them. See, the Holy Spirit got to do His work now. You did your job.
Our job is to make the gospel known. And you have to be bold to do that, because sometimes, you know, you get kind of get afraid, you know, and kind of get discouraged. But you got to be bold and don't speak up, because them sinners are going to speak up and tell you all their lies and gossip and stories. You need to be bold, too, and stand up and say something about your Lord and Savior. And God will work through you, according to His Word, to save that lost soul. And see, God gets the glory, not you and I. God be glory. See, I'm just a servant. You know, He just used me to make known that gospel to the lost around me. And I don't get no credit for it. God get all the credit for it. If that person comes to save knowledge, it's wonderful. It saved that person from a multitude of sin. And so we've come out of that corruption, that ungodliness in the world, because we've been enlightened. We see the evilness and the ungodliness and the corruption of living ungodly life, living in sin. Now we got the power to live above sin. Because when you get saved, God gives you His Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit stays there until the day of redemption. And you learn how to lean on the Holy Spirit, His power, to live above sin. We have to reckon ourselves to be dead to sin, right? Romans chapter 6, around verse 11. Let's just look at that right quick. Romans chapter 6, and we're going to get back to our lesson. Romans chapter 6. It's one thing to be saved, but then it's another thing to learn how to walk in the Spirit. That's what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we have to learn how to do that. Romans chapter 6 is one of the things that we must. It's a command. I think that's where I'm going to go. Yeah, right. Paul says, I'm in the wrong chapter, chapter 7, sorry. No wonder I didn't see it. Okay, yeah, verse 11. Likewise, reconcile. You can identify Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. That's what Romans chapter 6, verses 1 up through verse 10 talks about. We've been identified in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. When we believe Paul's gospel, God the Holy Spirit baptizes us in the body. We become identified with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. His death becomes my death. His burial becomes my burial. His resurrection becomes my resurrection. It's one of the man wants to die. Well, I've already done that. I died in Christ. God satisfied with that. Now that old man has been put in the grave and been done away with. Now I got to leave him there, because he wants God to get up. I'm dead. That dead man can't do anything, right? I got to reckon myself to be dead to sin, but alive unto God. And I can do that now because I have the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 6, verse 11 goes on to say, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You have to put forth some energy to do that. But you got the power now to empower you to do that, the Holy Spirit. You don't feel it, you don't see it, but God's Word says so. And God, you said it, and you said you're going to give me power to live above it. Now, keep your word. God's going to keep His word. He's going to take that desire away from you. That's tempting you. When you say, Lord, I'm dead to it, and God takes the desire. You turn away from it, and God takes that desire from you. The sinner can't help it. He's tempted to sin, he's going to sin. Because sin is his master. He got to sin. He got to obey his masters. So we've been delivered from that. So let's go back to our lesson in Romans chapter 1. And we got down to, we're talking about the attributes of God. And again, another attribute is his sovereignty. What does that say? Sovereignty. And if you want to look it up later on, but this is some information that I had about
God is able to bring to pass everything that he chooses. He has no external limitations. He only limits his only limits are those he puts upon himself. The book of Job is about this. Job chapter 42 and verse 2. See, God has a will, and he's working things all out according to his will. It makes you wonder, why don't God just go ahead and just wipe out all his sin all at one time? Well, nope, God's got a will. He's working everything out according to that will on schedule. He's not going to get ahead of himself. He's going to stay right on his time schedule. And we got to recognize what that time schedule is. Because if we get ahead of the Lord, or, you know, we can get behind him and not be up to the program where we need to be at in the Bible. Or we can try to get ahead of him and we'd be out of place. We got to get right with the program, right in line with God. So Job talks about this. Job 42, verse 2. And then we're going to go to Genesis 18. Job 42, Genesis 18. Job 42, verse 2 says, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. God can do everything. And that God is our God. That God lives in you. And you have to learn how to tap into that power. Not for our will, but for his will be done. See, that's the catch right there. That's what we mess up at. We want God to, I got this power now. I'm going to get me a house. I'm going to get me a car. I'm going to get me a wife. Get me a husband. I'm going to have some kids. You know, I'm going to have everything I want. No, it don't work like that. God has a will, and we need to get in line with it. We don't make his will confirm to us. We confirm to his will. That's why, that's how our every need is met. Not our every want. You see, it's different. Our wants is not in God's, may not be in God's will. But God knows what we need before we ask it. He already knows. So, that's what that is talking about. God is able to know all things. Let's look at Genesis 18, verse 14. Genesis 18, 14 says, and this is God dealing with Abraham and Sarah. Remember, you know, it's been a long time, and the promise hadn't come. Sarah hadn't had a baby yet, and then God says, the Lord says, Sarah don't have a baby. And Sarah started laughing. And the Lord told, ask Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? You know, is anything impossible with God? That's what he's saying here. And I'm just going to read that verse, but you can read the rest of the verses surrounding it. Abraham and Sarah. Is anything too hard for God? He's talking about, you know, Sarah having a child. Because she was childless. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. There's nothing too hard. That's a humbling thing to know. You know, that our God is Almighty God. We are dealing with the Almighty God on a daily basis. And he's in us. That makes me kind of afraid, you know. It makes me tremble a little bit because he's so powerful. And, you know, I'm a little nobody. Who am I to have this knowledge, to have this power in me?
Sarah
it's conceivable that's probably happening because it's past childbearing age, and it's, but God makes the impossible possible. That's our God. That's why. That's one of the things. Yes. And so now we read all these things, and all we got to go on is this word. But we believe that this word is verbally inspired, is the written word of God. It's God's word form. We believe in the God of this Bible. You don't believe in a man, don't believe in me, you believe in this book. The book is faithful. Learn how to depend on the book. That's why I strive to teach people at our assembly. Learn how to depend on God. Because man will let you down. He'll fail you. I fail, we all fail. But God is always faithful. You can depend on him. Put your trust in him and him alone. and he'll give you the victory through it all. He'll show you the way. He'll give you the understanding of everything going through in your life. You'll know how to handle every situation. And it's a very humbling thing to know that, you know, even our disappointments are God's appointments. Well, I want to be at home, but I'm over here. I'm down to the church. I'm fixing this vacuum cleaner. Man, this thing ain't going together right. I want to be at home, but God sends somebody to the door and knocks on the door, battery down. Got it. Want some help? Got to get the jump. Want me to jump the car off? Okay, I'll get to jump the car off. Go out there and get his car jumped. It wouldn't jump off. It'd hold the battery. And so I take this young man to Walmart. It's not far. I take him to Walmart. He was so thankful. I ain't charging anything. I just want to help him because I'm getting ready to make a gospel on this guy. I see the opportunity, you see. I'm seeing the opportunity right here. And so I have the opportunity to make known the gospel to this young man. He believed it. And he's gone. Now I may not see him. But you see, that was the appointment that was, you know, my disappointment was God's appointment. See, we have to learn to humble ourselves and get I out the way. I want to go home, right? But we don't see the big picture, you know. And so the best thing to do is humble yourself. Don't get so upset. You know, I could have been very upset, man. In fact, I had to be taken apart. And you know what's wrong with it? I didn't push the on button. Click. I didn't push the on. I said, I don't know. I put it all back together. Then the guy knocks on the door. I'm like, now what? But, you know, that's how it works sometimes. So let's look at, we did Genesis 18:4. Okay, we did that. So other attributes of God is the immutability, immutable. He's holy. Three times holy, he's loved, he's merciful, God is a Trinity. So these are the attributes of God. And I've been covering what we've been discussing back in Romans chapter 1. Go back to Romans chapter 1, and I got about 20 minutes. Romans chapter 1, talking about the inward and outward evidence of God to man. And God is, in Romans chapter 1, Paul is dealing with man all on the same level at this time, Gentiles, and how they rejected God in time past, and God gave them up, and God gave them up, and God gave them over to that reprobate mind. It was a downward, downward slope. Because if you reject God, you're going to go down. And that's what's happening to mankind back in the beginning. And here in Romans chapter 1, Paul is talking about that. Romans chapter 1, now verse 21, goes on to say, because that which may be known, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. It's talking about man in time past, in the days of Noah. That was before the flood. That's where Paul is talking about. And it's going to come all the way up to the Tower of Babel, how man is still rejecting God. And God's giving him over to that reprobate mind. And then after he gives up the Gentiles, then he chose Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and made that Jewish nation. And so, but now God is dealing with all men on the same level, Gentiles. So, because when they knew God, so man knew God back in the time past. So he knew God how? Inwardly and outwardly through creation, right? That's what we've just been discussing. So we can see that from the scripture. Because of sin entrance into the world, man is not improving, but rather he is getting worse. Because look over in Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. Let's look there. Sin entered into the world. Verse 12. Romans 5, 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So that because of Adam's sin, man has not been getting better, but has been getting worse and worse and worse. And in our day, the days are growing darker. Sin has become more open. You know, they want you to accept things today that's to be normal, but it's abnormal. And that's what Romans chapter 1 goes on to talk about. Men with men, women with women. That's not normal. And that's what Paul goes on to talk about. So, because of the entrance of sin into the world, man is not improving, but rather he is getting worse. As one person said, it is not evolution, but devolution. This happened. This is illustrated here in Romans chapter 2. For us in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 down through 32. I'm not going to read all the verses, but that's what is demonstrated there. These verses show a downward trend of gross immorality. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 to 32, that's what that shows. Man goes from a state of knowing God in the beginning to a state of worshiping creeping things, accompanied by vile affections and behaviors. That's what it goes. From man knowing God to worshiping idols and creeping things and anything else but God. Because God, man don't want God in his business. So turn from light, you go into darkness. And it goes worse and worse and worse. And we can see it today. It's very a lot of immorality, vice and crime just rampant all over the world. It's all over the news. You know, look at the news, you get discouraged. You don't want to look at the news. Because it's always evilness and bad things to talk about. They try to throw a little good things in there, you know, at the end. A little story that, you know, kind of warm your heart, but most of it is just bad news. And so we have to come to the Word of God to be edified, to be comforted, to be strengthened. As believers, that's where we get our strength from. Go to your Bible. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Meditate on these things. Not this stuff out here in the world, because you look at that and you get discouraged. You've got to keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on Christ. And it'll give you strength to keep going on and on and on in face of all these evils in the world. People are on your job, man. Drama, drama, drama. Man, you get tired of all the drama all the time, you know. And I'm looking forward to the days I retire. You know, you got to deal with this person, that person. They act like a kid. They can't get along. They just fight. And y'all got to get along with both these guys. And both of them don't like me because I like him. I'm getting along with him. I'm getting along with this guy. And they both, you know, I'm in the middle. And so, hey, it ain't between me. You know, I am to love all men. Because we're going to have to stand before the Lord one day. We are to love all men. Even though they hate us. Even though they persecute us. And reject us. We still have love. Now, that's God going to have to do it through us, you see. It's not going to be you, but you learn how much you come to see as you read and study your Bible, how much God loves you. Now, you got to go out and love your enemy. That's God love, agape love in you doing that. Not you. See, you get kind of fucked up, you think that's you. But you say, Lord, you know, thank you for giving me grace to deal with this person because I'm about ready to knock him out. And you got to humble yourself and try to love that person, you see, because man, it ain't good for me. You got to let him handle it. Lord, pray for him. See, God tells us to pray for him. That person persecutes you. Pray for him. Because somebody prayed for you. Now you're saved. And you've been delivered from it. That evil that's in you is evil. It want to get out. But God, the Holy Spirit, helps us to keep that under control. Paul tells us you ought to know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. Know how to do that. You've got to come to Paul's epistles to learn how to do that. Paul teaches us how to mortify the deeds of the body of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, we should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. A walking in the Spirit gives us a list of walking in the flesh. So we can see it. We know what we need to do. Stop lying. Stop cheating. Stop fornicating. Stop committing adultery. You know, we are to fulfill the law. How do you fulfill the law? Love your neighbor as yourself. See, love won't commit adultery with his neighbor. Love won't steal from his neighbor, right? That's what we ought to do. And as we do that, Paul says, you fulfill the law. You know that? We love the God of this book, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. You're thinking of others before yourself. That's the mind of Christ, you see. That's what we ought to manifest today before this world, is the mind of Christ. And to know the mind of Christ, you've got to come to Paul's epistles. He tells us all about the mind of Christ. What was hidden in the cross, what was hidden in God's mind all this time, is now revealed in Paul's epistles. God loves that sinner, but he hates sin. So we ought to strive to get that purpose of saving knowledge by not just speaking the gospel, but living out. See, this is a new life in Christ we have. And we are to live this life to the glory of God before this ungodly world. That's our responsibility. That's what we need to be working on a daily basis. Learning how to walk in the Spirit, follow the Holy Spirit's guidance, living out this word that we've learned. We come to church every Sunday, we come to Bible study, we study at home. It shouldn't be in vain. It should be accomplishing something in us. And see, God gets glory. See, God is God. We're allowing Him to have more of us. We cannot have more of Him. We can't get no more Holy Spirit. You got all you're going to get. But we can allow Him to have more of us. Sacrifice, giving up the pleasures of this life for Him. Living out this, that's what it's all about. That's what growing up is all about. You get saved, now you got to grow. Grow up, be adults. Make wise decisions, not foolish decisions. We did that when we were lost, right? And we regret it. We made a lot of foolish decisions. But don't dwell on that. Now you look forward to Christ. You know, being built up in Him. Allowing Christ to be formed in you. See, them Galatians believers, they had a desire to go back under that law. And Paul says, I labor again until Christ be formed in you. And that's what we should be striving to do. So let's go back to our lesson. I got a few more verses. And about 10 minutes. Okay? So we were talking about the attributes of God. Okay? And we went to... Okay, we got down to verse 21. And... Let's see. So man is going down, as we see in verses... Romans 1, 21 to 23. Becoming worse and worse and worse. He's worshiping creeping things. And he's turning from God. It's a downward path of mankind in these groups. Two groups, there's two groups here, can be divided into these verses. Ungodliness of men are seen in verses 21 to 23, and the unrighteousness of men can be seen in verses 24 to 32. So the ungodliness of men, verses 21 to 23, this can be seen in man's rebellion against God and as seen in their many kinds of idolatry or idol worship or covetousness. The ungodliness, the unrighteousness of men can be seen in verses 24 to 32. These are the sins of perversion, which men and women inflict upon others and upon themselves. Sins of perversion. Even wanting other people to do it and doing it themselves. And that's what those verses talk about, verses 24 to 32. So I won't get right into those verses because that's not my lesson today, but it all kind of deals with the same thing in Romans chapter 1. the ungodliness of man turning from God, and God giving him up. If you look right there, let's look at Romans, and we'll see the three turns. This is God dealing with the Gentiles, you see, and then he started dealing with the Jews. Paul goes into dealing with the Jews, and the Jews go better than the Gentiles. That's what he goes on to show. And he gets down to Romans chapter 3. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what the conclusion is. But let's look at this. The three turns God does from the Gentiles. Romans chapter 1. He says back in verse 24. This is the first turn. They didn't want God. And they rejected God. And they changed the glory of God into a corruptible, the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible men, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, verse 23, and creeping things, idol worshiping. That's what they're doing, idol worshiping. Verse 24 goes on to say, wherefore God also gave them up. See, God giving them up. That's the first turn from the Gentiles. Gave them up unto uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And so it goes on and on and on. And we drop down to verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them... Verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. So they were turning from God, and they just started turning toward each other. And same sex, that's what that is right there. And that's what happens when you turn from God. You go against nature. And that's what these people are doing. They're going against nature because they turned from God. And that was the second turn in verse 26. God gave them up unto these vile affections. Now we drop down to verse 28. It's the last turn with Gentiles. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over that reprobate mind. All these ungodly things you read about in the remainder of this chapter, they become worse and worse and worse. And we can see it today. On the news every day, we can see it. It's uncontrollable. Those sins, those desires, it consumes them. They become monsters. They can't control themselves. They go out there and murder. They go out there and steal. Just for a few dollars, they'll kill a person. A pair of shoes. Step on the shoes, I'm ready to leave. I'm stepping my $250, $300 shoes, man, I'm ready to kill somebody. Some of these kids are ready to hurt. That anger just takes over. Drugs, you know, people get hooked on these drugs, it controls their mind. That's all they want is that drug. It overpowers every thought, everything that they need, food, anything. All they want is drug. Out of control. Anger can get out of control. Man, you can get so angry, you can just blink out and don't realize what I just did. What did I just do? I just killed about, you know, shut up, went in the building, shut up all these people. That anger just, your stock market falls, and you were trusted in the stock market, not rather than God, and there it's gone. Now they're ready to kill somebody. They go into the office and with a gun and just start shooting up. But, you know, that's where man has been going. Worse and worse and worse. It's not going to get better. You know, we can see at the end of the dispensation of grace that evil seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. As old Anne and Peter, I mean Timothy, all talks about it. But that is going to be my lesson today. I want to say that thank you for allowing me to come and speak. I got about 2 minutes. And we have a conference coming up next week. We invite everybody to come that's able to come. Pastor Kevin Sattler is going to be one of the speakers. Myself, Brother Frank, Gary is going to be a speaker. And we're going to be speaking on the theme, A More Excellent Way. So what is the more excellent way? You know, that's such a focus here. It has to do with Corinthians and how they were, it's going to be... turning from one thing, going on into this faith, hope, and love. And that faithful love is what's going to carry us on out through until the day. We're not going to be relying on signs and wonders. We don't rely on that anymore. But them Corinthians, they had all the gifts. But Paul says, I assure you of one excellent. And that's the way we need to learn, that we are to apply to our daily lives, and so that people can see, you know, our faith, God in us, and what hope we have, and our love one for another. Faithful love. And that's the abiding trinity. That's going to last throughout, until, even throughout in eternity. That's what's going to last. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Anybody got any more comments or questions? Thank you so much for having me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for this opportunity to come and speak and fellowship and be blessed in your word. We thank you, Father, for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and him dying on the cross and redeeming us back to you. Thank you, Lord, for bearing the shame and the pain of the disgraceful cross on our behalf. We thank you, Father, and if there are any today here that are seeking salvation, we pray that this day may be their day, that they might see their need of a Savior and acknowledge, Lord, I want to be saved. Lord, save them today. All they have to do is place their faith in Christ's finished work on the cross on their behalf. Christ died for your sins. He died for my sins. And I believe, Lord, that you died for me and that you were buried and rose again the third day. And I pray that they believe this also. All those that hear my voice this day that are outside of Christ, believe that in that salvation. We say thank you, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Thank you, John.
Thank y'all for having us.
Thank you.
Welcome. So y'all just do the Bible study, and that's it for today. Y'all don't have another. Like on Sunday, we have three. We have Sunday school class, then we have service, regular preaching. So I do three messages on Sunday. And Sunday evening, we come back at 2:30, and we study a Bible, one of the books in the Bible. So y'all get a chance to come by and visit. In Thessalonians, we're in Thessalonians chapter, 1 Thessalonians. So in the morning, we're in Acts. And then I do just preaching regularly on preaching on Sunday at 12 o'clock and do regular preaching. Then on Wednesday we have Bible study, 6 o'clock. And on Saturday we got a book club.
Wow, things that differ.
We're studying things that differ. You know, we talk about it, research the scriptures, and just, you know, keep on talking. So if you get a chance, you know, that'd be great to come by and check out our website. All the information is on our website, gracebibleministrymx.com. That's our website. And also, we're starting a radio ministry.
Really?
Yes, I've been on the radio for now in the past couple of weeks. And it is local, but you can get it on the internet. You can go to, it's a website, WSELradio.com. And it's live, and I do it at 4:30. I'm trying to get it every day at 4:30 on Thursday. And do it that way. So it's free. You can keep that. That's just what I just was talking about. I want to keep that.
My name is John.
I know you don't know me.
No.